We continue with our COVID-19 coverage this morning with officials from Baxter Regional Medical Center joining us, President and CEO Ron Peterson, Board Certified Internal Medicine and Infectious Disease Physician Dr. Raymond Bandy, Infection Preventionist Stephanie Freem, and Director of Marketing Tobias Pugsley. And Ron, we'll let you start with those latest statewide numbers this morning.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Good morning. We've exceeded on a statewide basis the 10,000 mark for the number of cases in the state. We got 10,080 cases, and the governor has definitely given a directive to increase the number of testing, which I think has caused some of those increases, but we're up to 32,888 tests just in the first 10 days of June, so we've definitely increased the number of testing across the state. Of those 10,000 patients that have positive, we have 3,044 active cases in the state, and of those 3,044, we have 173 that are hospitalized, 44 that are on ventilators, and unfortunately, to date, we're up to 161 deaths across the state. If you look at Baxter County, we're up to 13 positive cases in Baxter County, but we only have 3 active cases in Baxter County. The number of individuals in Baxter County that have been tested are 935, and as a system, Baxter Regional has tested 1,403, which means we obviously have tested people from outside the county, and we've only had one positive out of those 1,400 cases.
Ron, can you give us an update on the financial status of the hospital and the status of the furloughed employees?
Well, you know, the financial status goes right hand-in-hand with the volume. And what we saw really in the end of March was our volume started dropping about 15% overall in the month of March. And then in April, we dropped down to 40% less volume than what we'd anticipated. May, we started to see it come back, which was good, and so we were about 15% below what we had budgeted or anticipated. And actually now in June so far, we're within 2 or 3%, so it's good to see that volume back. And every week we're evaluating how we can bring people back, because we want to get as many people as we possibly can back, and we're down to just 78 individuals that are furloughed.
Good news. Well, Dr. Bandy, at a recent area Rotary meeting, we heard you did a phenomenal job outlining COVID-19 for the community. Can you do that again for our listeners this morning?
Well, that would be kind of tough. I had about 45 or 50 minutes at the Rotary meeting. Maybe just a couple of things. One of the areas I think of interest was that we do have an antiviral medication now that has been approved and out. It's called remdesivir. Remdesivir is also one of those things that's still being evaluated to see exactly the level of effectiveness. The studies that we have had so far show that it decreases the time to resolution of the symptoms from an average of 15 days to 11 days for people who have severe disease. The only negative thing with remdesivir that we've seen so far is while it decreases symptomatology in many patients who have severe disease, it has not seemed to have decreased overall mortality for those who are the sickest of the patients. But it does give us something that if someone were admitted to the hospital, they were severe, we could petition the CDC and have a antiviral medication that has a chance of helping them.
Dr. Bandy, what are some of the most common questions you get about COVID-19 from the community, and how do you respond to those?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest questions that I get is, what is my risk? And in general, for the coronavirus of COVID-19, I think it is makes a lot of people feel a little bit better or more secure to know that 81% of the cases, according to the CDC, are very mild or have no symptoms at all. 14% of the cases are severe, and by that, people have shortness of breath when they walk, their oxygen levels drop, or they have severe pneumonia. And that even if you do get it, the overall case fatality rate worldwide is 2.3%, And whenever we do large-scale population antibody studies later on to evaluate what happened, that number may actually drop when we find out that there are a lot of individuals who had it, who were not symptomatic or only minimally symptomatic. And then the other question, which is more specifically, I will have young people say, well, how much risk do I have? Can I go to a swimming party, et cetera? And the severity of the disease is associated with two things, and that is advancing age and underlying medical comorbidities. So, for instance, just with your age, if you're between age 20 and 29, you have a less than 1% chance of having severe symptoms. If you're between age 50 and 59, that goes up to 4%, but that's still low. And then it is those individuals who are over the age of 80 who are most at risk. And for those over the age of 80, it's about 18 to 20% will develop severe disease. And in the United States, 80% of all of the deaths have been in those who are over the age of 65 and have more than two comorbidities, which would mean significant underlying heart, lung disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, et cetera, or cancer, or they were on medications that caused them to be immune compromised.
Dr. Bandy, of course, you've been in the area now for a few months with your internal medicine practice. How's that going? And can you tell us the difference between family medicine and internal medicine?
The family medicine doctors do a great job of taking care of adult patients, and I think the comparison would be very often those mature patients they have who have multiple medical problems may be referred on from family medicine to internal medicine, but there's a lot of variability there. What I see are typically, you know, patients 50 into the 80s, 90s, who do have multiple medical problems. But there's a lot of overlap with family medicine and internal medicine. I guess the other thing is some of the family medicine doctors do OBGYN. I do not do that. Family medicine doctors see pediatric patients, and I do not. So my practice would be focused upon medical care of adults.
Are you accepting new patients?
We are, yes. We have. We would love to see new patients.
Stephanie, let's turn to you this morning. Hospitalizations in Arkansas up about 180% in the last 28 days. And, of course, hospital capacity seems to be a topic of concern. Should our listeners in this area be concerned?
So, yeah, with the cases going up and hospitalizations going up in the state of Arkansas, that is definitely a concern. And I feel like I should knock on wood, though, when I say this. We have not seen that impact here in our area, so we have been very fortunate and hope that it stays that way.
Have we? Let's talk about the antibody tests. We've talked about those the last couple of weeks. How many have been conducted now, and have we seen any additional positives for antibodies?
We have now conducted 90 antibody tests, and no, we have not seen any additional positives.
Okay. Ron, anything else we need to mention this morning?
Well, you know, you kind of touched on it, but this is we've had the most activity right now that we've ever had in the state, and most of it is in northwest Arkansas. As Stephanie said, not a lot here, but yet there's more activity here now than ever before. So I'd really caution everybody and just suggest that you make sure that you do the social distancing, you wear the masks, and just be smart and be safe in your decisions that you make out there.
You bet, guys. Hey, great information once again this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Brad. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you. All right, again, Ron Peterson, Dr. Raymond Berry, Stephanie Free, Tobias Pugsley this morning for Baxter Regional Medical Center.